Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, thank you for listening to another podcast of Will's Take on Sports. I'm the host, Will Walker. I'm going to be joined here by some very good friends of mine as NFL is back, NFL week one. But there's a lot of other things going on in the world of sports, NBA bubble playoffs. Man, what in the world is going on with the Clippers? I don't know. But before we discuss some of this NFL action and other sports, today's podcast 913. Expect anything different. Thursday night football returns to kick off the NFL season, and the players came together to show unity. Depending on what YouTube video you watch, boos can be heard on almost every sports show or cable TV propaganda news source. Black people were asked, "What do you think about the booing?" And almost in unison, the reply was disappointed, disbelief, or whatever word start with this. That means let down. My question to them in the black power of social media, you expect anything different? We live in a country where almost half of the country supports a presidential administration that doesn't believe in systemic racism. Just like the outcome of the game, the Kansas City pro football team is returning nearly every starter on offense and defense. And then they add the perfect complement at running back. You expect anything different? How about the shocking all of Americans whose skin is not brown being shocked that the unity line was formed at the beginning of the game? It wasn't during the national anthem. It was just during the beginning of the game. And what's the problem again? Whatever. The NFL can have a mixed race artist sing a poem written by Mr. Johnson. They can put an end to racism. They can put the end to racism stamp in the end zone. They can fly a banner above the stadium, place decals on the helmets. Teams can make solidarity videos showing they want to keep awareness about systemic racism. Even all that, people still gonna have a problem. And my question to these gentlemen that's joining me today, you expect anything different? All right, so welcome in the Twins, Mr. Mike Walker, Mr. Walter Stone, Mr. Louis Tenor. And back.
Gentlemen?
He is back, Mr. Zach Flournoy. He's got a day off. I'm going to let him start
back,
since he hasn't been here in a while, and see what he has to say. You expect anything different than the boos that was given at the beginning of that football game?
No, not at all.
No.
Now, I'm going to shock you today, Will. I'm surprised we've been discussing this, talking about this, because, you know, today I thought we would strictly discuss straight football, but not that part of football, but straight the return of football. More importantly, the return of them Hurricanes. And on top of that, the defeat of them goddamn Seminoles getting their ass kicked. That's what I want to talk about. But you know what? There's other stuff.
Let's move on from the expect anything different, but that could tie into
right.
What you're getting ready to ask Mike. So what do you want to ask Mike about football?
You know what? It's all fun and games. Just joke. Get the chance to fun with him again. There we go. Florida
phone.
State fans were letting me have it. I will say this. It wasn't these two guys, but at work, some Florida State fans, y'all only beat UAB. And I said, okay, you know what? I said, you're right. But boy, you know I couldn't even wait. We only beat UAB, but you only lost to Georgia Tech.
That is a conference foe. But anyway,
it's a loss. It's a loss.
And in college football, if you don't have at least a viable quarterback and your senior system, that's what's going to happen. And Florida State does not have – they don't get James Blackman. They don't get James Blackman chance after chance to prove that he can be a quarterback. So me personally, if I'm Florida State coaching staff, if I'm going to lose the rest of the way, I'm going with a freshman quarterback. Hey,
you're going to take
him up? Hey. Yeah, you got to.
No, I understand. Trust me, I got you. I had to get one or two jokes in, but I understand.
Hey,
it wasn't necessary to you guys, but they were talking trash.
Your defense only give up 16 points.
Right. So true.
And you go 1, 2, 3 out. You keep your defense on the field the whole time. And another thing, I have to look at my coaching list cross for you too. Because the same kid that did us up at quarterback, he's supposed to be in that Florida State, but he said he didn't see his system. Wow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm.
Go ahead.
Y'all good with that? Y'all got y'all insults in against each other?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
I just had to.
Oh.
There.
All right, let's move on.
Let's move on to
the games that's been happening today. Going to start with the Twins and ask them, did you expect anything different from Phillip Rivers than what you got today?
I'm not surprised by that behavior. Two picks?
Yeah. Yeah, he looked like Phillip Rivers. Why did they?
My biggest fear was going with Phillip Rivers with him not being able to perform under pressure. That's been my only thing, but I still like that pick to pick him up and use him as a quarterback at least for a year or two, however long he's gonna hang around. So I'm not surprised by the performance, but you know I'm not surprised he came.
Phillip Rivers had a bad year last year. I don't think he had that much better of a year than Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett still on that roster?
Yes.
Interesting. Mr. Walter Strong, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, sir. I apologize. Just got through doing my evening run and walk. So... Doing good.
That's very good. So you have not seen any football?
Nah, don't even want to waste my time. I have to agree with Zach. Not for sure why your producer came up with that first segment on about booze. Quite frankly, I don't give a damn.
I'm
serious because you know what? We can't let the NFL commercialize this. If we're going to really talk about, you know, Black Lives Matter, if we're going to talk about wanting a real change, you know, Roger Goodell and the rest of the NFL got to come correct. Like, you know, I like the way the WNBA did it when they did the thing with the seven shots shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, that's a statement. So, if you're going to really be about this, be about it. Other than that, commercialize it. I already got Christmas that's commercialized.
But they both are images. What the young ladies did and what this fluff that the NFL is doing is just images. So what's the difference?
Because the NFL is trying to commercialize it. They're trying to make a dollar off of it.
Expect anything different?
Absolutely not. So
that was my point. Mr. Lewis Tenor, how you doing, sir?
Yo. All right.
What is your thoughts of the early games? I forgot. I think you're a Cowboys fan. Y'all ain't played yet.
Yeah, we're playing tonight against the Rams. But I'll say one thing. Did I expect anything different from the Jets? No, not really. Buffalo, you know, they're always tough at home, and they have a better offense. So I really didn't expect anything different, especially from Sammy Boy, who, of course, with the interceptions and whatnot, he's probably seen those ghosts again like he did last season and probably couldn't get out of his head, and that's what caused for all the mistakes. And, of course, you know, we didn't have much of possession of the ball, so that's not going to help us. Going three and out for most of the first quarter and partially in the second, that is not how you're going to be competitive against Buffalo, Kansas City, or whoever you play. I mean, simple mistakes are what's costing us the game. And it doesn't get any easier. And for you thinking, did I spend anything different out of Phillip Rivers? No, of course not. Why do you think he got dumped? Oh, boy. Rivers was bad last year. I think it's going to be worse this year. Forget about it.
I don't disagree with that sentiment. Zach, you are a Miami Dolphins fan like yours truly. Fitzpatrick threw three red zone interceptions today. Did you expect anything different?
I actually didn't. I really didn't. But like you said, if we go with the rookie, I mean, now this is one time I agree with Mike. I'd rather go with the rookie and take my lumps because I don't expect anything. I don't. So why should I keep, go with the rookie and take
Do you think he's fully healthy? Do you think he's fully healthy to take that beating?
Okay, I didn't consider that fact. The offensive line not protecting him. Said, no, I guess you can't put him out there not fully healthy. You're right.
Yeah, he does. He doesn't. Yeah. I don't know if you'd give – he's not ready. He's not ready.
No.
So they got to – you got to just ride with Fitzpatrick for however long until they think he's ready. But I don't see him getting in there at least before the eighth game of the season unless Fitzpatrick gets hurt. I know I didn't expect anything different from Tom Brady as he just threw a pick six. So whoever wears the Buccaneers quarterback or whoever their quarterback is and wears that uniform, he's going to throw pick six.
I had a camper.
Wow.
So it may be the Bruce Arians offense. Could that be it?
You think so?
Wow.
That's the thing. That's the common
Brady.
Denominator.
I did. Right.
For who? Who you want Tom Brady for? For the Dolphins? Tom Brady for the Dolphins?
No, I didn't say that. Heck no. Are you kidding me? Why would I want that trade over there? No. But I did expect him to do better within the Tampa Bay system because they do, quote-unquote, have better receivers, you know.
Offensive line, brother. That's the same offensive line that they had last year.
Thank you, Mike.
Gotcha.
I appreciate that.
And on top of that, the division that they're in now, I think the defense is in the division that they're in now is better than the one that he was in because they're going to put pressure on him up the middle, and that's where he hates to get that pressure up the middle, and that's why he's throwing all his interceptions. That's the second one today?
That's the second one today, my friend, and he's just like Jameis. He threw a pick six. So I don't know if he's going to throw six or seven this year like Jameis did, but that ball was late on that outside, and New Orleans politely just jumped in front of it and went to the end zone. Mike, what you expect from the Cowboys tonight versus the Rams?
Oh, man, I hope we can outscore the Rams because it's a way to see. Everybody's – swear up and down, I just hate Dak Prescott. It's not that I hate Dak Prescott. I mean, he's got to win the big games. You know, if you go and look at it, when the teams that we're supposed to beat, he'll do a good job. But when those games that were 50-50 and better, that's where he has the problem. So I'm hoping that he's got $31 million now, so that he's going to get to – play like a $31 million quarterback. That's all I ask. Don't play like a $15 million quarterback.
Well, $15 million.
So he's not one of the top guys. He's not one of the top 15 guys in the league right now.
Top 15. Oh, I'll say he's out of 32. I'll put it probably 15, 16. I just said he's not one in the top 10. That's not the only thing I've been saying. But he won't number one type money. That's the only thing. I never said he didn't deserve a raise. You never heard me say he didn't deserve a raise. But what I did say He didn't deserve no 30 and $40 million, and I still believe that. Until if he proved me wrong, then I'll come on here and say, fellas, I was wrong. But until then, nope.
Well, the owner feels the same way about him, so apparently you know more about your team than we do, because the owner feels the same way about him. So what can you say?
Yep.
And Jerry Jones is the one that got to pay him. But that analogy he used with the marriage thing, not so much. I don't too particularly care for that. All right.
No. His statement about he's going to give his team grace. I want to punch him in the throat for that. That's what I want.
Why?
Nah, you want me? Yeah. Because
back to the title. Why did you expect anything different from Jerry Jones?
I just thought
right.
about it after I said it. But but he still needs some. I need some powder. Bringing some powder in my hand.
You need.
He needs to be slapped. Jerry Jones.
Not really.
He's listening to y'all. That's just my opinion. He shouldn't use that word.
No, I'm going to agree with Walter. I think the people that probably, and I don't want to talk about violence, but somebody that probably would need to be virtually slapped is the NFL. And I'm going to throw the NBA in there too, because I agree. This all this Black Lives Matter on the court, end racism in the end zone, decals on the shirts and all that kind of stuff, you can miss me with that.
Right.
It's unnecessary for me.
But
it really
you're
is.
Miami Dolphins. But do you see your Miami Dolphins video that they made?
Well, that was probably the most real of any video that was made. And I get what the New Orleans Saints did about. But what the Dolphins did was like, look, no, we don't want to be a part of no lift every voice and sing. We don't want to be a part of their strength. We'll just stay in the locker room. Now, several other teams did the same thing. It is what
right.
it is, but my whole thing with that and all that, and you guys know that since Colin Kaepernick did it, I just say play football. Handle your social stuff outside of football. Just play the game.
Right.
And I'm not agreeing with the right-wing crowd. That's not me agreeing with them. That's just me. I just want to say, if you're going to play football, play football. If you're going to play basketball, play basketball. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
We understand. I've been black my whole life. Racism has existed since we landed on this doggone country. This ain't just started when George Floyd lost his breath. This ain't just started.
Yeah.
So now everybody's all woke all of a sudden, and no, miss me with it. Just play the sport. If you're going to do and you want to end it, let's get some legislation in here and let's do what we need to do. I like what Peyton Manning did. I don't know if you guys know what he did. Peyton Manning and his wife just they provided 6 scholarships to HBCUs. That's not even reported.
Right.
You didn't have any of you heard that?
I did. Actually.
I think I did.
Nope.
No, sir. Didn't even
so
read
like
on
you said,
that one social
like you
media
said, it was
channel.
Reported.
Okay.
I agree with you on that. I agree. No one publicized that.
No one publicized it. And here's something else that's even unique about that. He didn't even want it. He didn't want it out there.
No,
so
he didn't want it exactly.
The NFL players who went to HBCUs, the former NFL players that went to HBCUs, he put it in their name at their universities. Four schools in Louisiana and 2 schools in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Educate. If that's the help, educate the young people. I'm with that all day, every day. But all the rest of that stuff, whatever. It is what it is.
And you know, Will, this has nothing really to do with it, but you know his nephew's the number one quarterback in the nation right now, right? And he said he actually thought about HBCU. Of course, Grambling, but then, you know, in actuality, we know he's not really going to Grambling. He said, but
it wouldn't make sense for him to go to Grambling because
right.
And I'm not talking about the color of his skin. Just the simple fact is he is a top-notch guy that they're
right.
getting ready to bring
exactly.
in. Wherever he goes is going to generate money. And
right.
unfortunately, HBCUs don't have the facilities to help a young man like that. I mean, he would help
right.
give them money. But right now, they're just
mm-hmm.
not in the position to take on a young person, a player of that magnitude. So,
exactly.
no, it wouldn't make sense for him to do that. Not in my opinion. So
no, it wouldn't.
It
but
is
like
what it
said,
is.
If he did it, imagine the players he bring with him, because they're going to follow him, and you know, and they're like, wow. But no, you're right. I see your point. I see your point greatly. I do.
Yeah, and then he won't. Then he won't bring an offensive line, just like Tom Brady is figuring out, or
right.
the young man that's quarterback in FSU. No quarterback can do anything without an offensive line.
Without
no quarterback.
Line.
I don't care who you are. So it doesn't matter. He can go there and get beaten, and if they get bigger games, he's just going to get destroyed.
Yep.
They don't have, I'm pretty sure they don't have the athletes at Grambling
right.
that he would have at Tennessee or whatever.
Grambling.
Correct. So true.
That is what it is. I'm going to change gears real quick, guys, and talk about the NBA bubble situation of the games. The Clippers blew a lead again. Again.
Right.
They were up today. They were leading this game 63-47 at the half. They end up losing again. They did the same thing in game five. I'm going to ask the Twins first. Are the Clippers done? Are we not going to get that L.A. dream matchup that we wanted in the Western Conference Finals? Are the Clippers done?
I hate to say it, but no, they're not done. The only reason why I say that is because of the black and white shirts. I'm just going to sit here and continue to eat Mike Yogurt, and I don't need it right there.
My thing is, I agree. This is not a done deal. The Clippers is going to probably take this in seven. And y'all going to get your little dream, which I'm not a big fan of, the Lakers and the Clippers, so I'm not a fan of that. But, yeah, I'm totally not selling it.
Y'all sound like my uncle and them underneath the tree when they played domino, when they were playing dominoes. Talking about the real.
Yeah. That's exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be down to the rest. I'm just saying it's going to be down to the rest. They're not going to expect to make it to the Western Conference Final again. No. Lakers and Clippers, that's what they want to see.
I agree with you, everybody a tickle dream.
Let's wake up. Yeah. This is just a tease. It's a tickle. And be done.
I listen to y'all podcast. Y'all talk like this just on y'all, just like y'all on y'all podcast.
Keith.
Hey, listen.
You hear mine, Will?
Oh, my gosh. You too, Lou. I heard yours, too. All right, Mike.
Did you hear mine?
Is it done? Are the Clippers done, or are we going to get that dream matchup in the Western Conference Finals?
I think Kawhi is going to find out a way to pull it out. I hadn't really watched that series as much as the rest of them because, you know, I'm a LeBron fan and I'm a Boston Celtics fan. But I think Kawhi is a big game. Normally Kawhi steps up in big situations. So I think he's gonna pull it out in this last game. But it's not
Kawhi. Kawhi isn't the problem. The problem is Lou Will is not shooting well. Montrezl Harrell hasn't been the same since they come back. And listen, losing someone that's close to you, nobody can get on a young man. He lost his grandmother, so he might be still going through some things.
Yeah.
Zubac is too slow because there's no way Nikola Jokic should be just beating him up down low or just beating
Nikola
him up,
Jokic
period.
Is killing him. He is killing him.
He is killing him.
He's
so
killing.
And the rest of the guys and the Morris twin, he just want to fight everybody. So it's not Paul George and Kawhi that's the
come
problem.
On.
Yeah, right.
It's the rest of the team. So that's why I'm saying, yeah, Kawhi.
But Will, are you
up.
Not? Why are you not just giving Denver their credit? They do. They are a better team right now. Overall, they're just a better team. Give them their credit, man.
I'm not going to say they're a better team. I think they're more.
They are, right now, no. Right now, they are the better team. Don't get me wrong. Okay, or they're playing better as a team. How about that? They're playing better as a team.
Okay, they're playing better as a team. But the matchup they're exploiting is whoever Lou Will is guarding, they're putting him in the pick and roll, and they're making him play defense. And Lou Will can do a lot of things besides go to Magic City and eat wings, but he cannot play defense.
Exactly.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that is his issue. What do you think, Zach? Well, I mean, you said the Clippers are not – I mean, that Denver's the better team, but so are the Clippers done?
I think they are done because Denver's done, man. Hey, this
I don't know. We didn't get you because you were far away, I think.
Yeah.
No. Oh, okay. But either way, they're the better team, man. Oh, I don't know why, because my phone right to my mouth right to the phone, but I think it's my phone. Oh. Sorry about that. I apologize.
Okay.
But the thing
I
watched them play.
That 5G tower. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're right. And I haven't upgraded. But no, all jokes aside, I watched them play, man. Mm-hmm. They just playing pure basketball right now. They're a better team. And you're right. It's not Kawhi nor Paul George. They're not the problem. They're not the problem at all. Your assessment is. I'm surprised. And what I understand is you're not the coach, right? Why can't they get that? Why can't Doc Rivers figure that out?
Yeah.
I would think he's pointed that out, but for some reason, the rest of the guys are just not – they're just not reacting. They got three very good minds on that sideline, Sam Cassell, Ty Lue, and Doc Rivers. But it's just these last two ball games in the second half, they just stunk up the joint. And Pat Bev is another one that wants to fight everybody. I mean, he wants to fight even his coaches.
Right. I understand you want to be tough, but come on. Sometimes you got to put that, him, like you said, him and that Morris dude, that's all they want to do, to earn their tough guy stripes.
Well, as Udonis Haslam would call them, he say they studio thugs. So maybe that's what it is. I don't know. The Clippers were the team I picked, but they don't look like they could beat the Lakers right now because the Lakers started out with their others not playing well. The Kuzmas, the Carusos, Rajon Rondo came back, and he's made them look good. And now it's the Clippers others who are not playing well. So I think the Lakers will beat them easily. Yeah, I don't, because right now the Clippers just don't look good. They just don't. Well, are the Clippers done? Are we dead set up?
Yes, yes. I'm hoping that this is truly going to be a Rocky II experience. For those of you that maybe before your time where Rocky turned around and came back in Rocky II and beat Apollo Creed. And basically that's what the Clippers are trying to do. They think they're Apollo Creed. They did that to Dallas and intimidated them. And Denver woke up and said, hey, look, we put our pants on just like they do. We go to the bathroom just like they do. And we're not going to be intimidated by them anymore. And that's number one. And then number two, basketball is a game of injustice. And right now, Mike Malone, I don't know if he is talking to his dad, Brendan Malone, and Brendan Malone is telling him some stories about Chuck Daly and the Bad Boy Pistons.
I knew that was coming. I knew it was coming. Go ahead.
He had to throw it in there.
Go ahead.
Right.
You know,
yeah, I know.
But
go ahead.
It's a game of adjustment. It's a game of adjustment. Mm-hmm. And so the news line that I want you to be blessed with on your next podcast show on, I think you do one on Thursday, I believe. Instead of it being the Battle of Los Angeles, it's going to be a wonderful headline for you to be able to talk about how Denver came back from 3-1 to beat Utah and now to come back and beat the Clippers 3-1. That's going to be a wonderful headline for you.
Right.
No, it won't. It won't be because I want the Battle of L.A. because I want the cliques in Los Angeles. They're not doing nothing out there right now. And they want
I want that. Sure. I mean, on paper, it sounds good. I love the movie Battle of Los Angeles. I'm for the Marines. Instead, if you ever saw the movie, I'm for the Marines and not the aliens. But this may not be what we're gonna get. I mean, it would be different if we were in game 7 in Los Angeles. If this bubble has shown us anything, there is no home court.
No.
No, it is definitely showed that, but I got to give the NBA credit for that COVID testing, except for that Daniel House boy. I don't know what was on his mind. I mean,
you ain't lying. What are you doing? Come on.
No, he sneaked in the lady that does the COVID testing. That's who he snuck in the room. That's who he had in his room. There's supposed to be no guests in your room.
But the crazy thing about that, now they sent him home. They sent him home. Mm-hmm. Then
Then his wife find out about it on Twitter. Oh my.
He had a mild experience.
Oh yeah, and the first statement out of her mouth, Karma is a bitch.
So I feel for her.
Mm.
Oh, man up! You wanted to play, so now you got
that's
now
right.
now you got
yeah.
now you
that's it, Walter.
Play, wash the mud off.
That's
of you.
It right there, Walter. That's it right there. He got a man up now. Yeah, you got to face the consequences, baby. There's a reaction to every action, and he finna see his reaction.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't eat if I was him, and I wouldn't. I would make sure I would sleep as close to her as possible if I was in his shoes.
Right.
Hey, have you ever saw this Christmas with Regina King?
Yep.
I won't be surprised if she said, "Well, come on, baby, come on home, get in the tub," and she get that baby all in that belt and come over for him.
Boy, that ain't.
Hey,
who said
now,
no? Who said no? Not sleeping with sleeping that close.
So she ain't trying to give us that NBA money, okay? You got it.
If she got two kids, if she got two kids from him, she ain't got to worry about it because she's gonna get chucked up. That's child support that's on that check stuff. She's gonna get chucked up, so she ain't got to worry about it. He begging. I'm trying to tell you, Kobe had to buy an $8 million ring.
Right.
An $8 million ring. That's all I'm gonna say. Dick Gregory said. You heard what Dick Gregory said. Dick Gregory said if that was him and his and he got accused of sleeping with a white woman and he bought his wife an $8 million ring, his wife would go find two more white women so she can get a match of earrings and a purse out of the situation. Yeah, he better sleep real close. He better sleep real close and listen, just he got a man up, bro. You caught.
Yeah, exactly.
He got a man up. You just got a man up. All right, Lou, let's talk about baseball.
Right.
You're the resident baseball dude on here. Some of us watch, some of us don't. Baseball's going to a hub city, Lou, in California and Texas. Now I don't know if they're gonna be able to do that in California with those wildfires out there. That's what the plan is in order to get their playoffs in. They're going to do two sites in Texas and propose two sites in Cali. What do you think about that?
Right. Well, the thing is, though, I think it's a little bit reversed because the American League teams are going to be playing in San Diego, which doesn't make any sense, and the National League teams are going to be playing in Arlington, which is the American League. So they got this in reverse. I mean, it doesn't make sense. If you're an American League team, why aren't you playing in America? In American League City,
I think they're trying not to give the home field, Lou. Although fans are not in the stand, I think they're trying. If everybody else has to be inconvenienced, they're going to make the teams in San Diego and LA be inconvenienced also. So you got to go to Texas. You're not playing in Cali.
Mm,
although there's
okay,
no fans
gotcha.
In the home field, they're going to make them inconvenience them also.
Yeah,
that don't make sense.
It does, but I just don't see why that American League series is going to be played at a National League ballpark and vice versa. I mean, it should be, you know, American League should play in American League ballpark and the National League should play in National League ballpark. I mean, you know, when I was reading the article,
I agree with him, Will.
Thank you.
What's the difference between an American League ballpark and a National League ballpark? I'm missing something.
Well, National League ballpark, you know, it's where the Mets, the Padres, the Dodgers, that's where they play. You know, and the American League plays
about
in, like,
dimensions. I'm thinking you talk about dimensions or something like the field is shorter in the National League.
It's true too.
Now,
or
certain fields are shorter.
You know,
I don't know which ones.
So let me ask you a question, Lou. So you mean to tell me you would have a problem with the Mets playing in Yankee Stadium and the Yankee Stadium playing in City Field?
Well, does it make any sense to me? You know, it's not there. It's not American League, National League. I mean, if you're gonna play, you know, representing your league, you might as well play in a city that represents your league. Not enemy territory.
or you just try to collect the TV money and make sure that the postseason is played. Because that's what this is about.
The postseason
they try to make
played,
sure
don't
they
worry, God.
Yeah. That's
yeah,
what
okay.
To, they're
at,
just,
at the rate you guys are going, well, not you, Lou, but at the rate they're going, they may not have a postseason.
That's why they're trying to do the hub city, Walter. They're trying to just draggle to the finish line for the regular season, and then they're trying to put them in a whole city situation so they can guarantee they finish.
They've gone this far, and, you know, they have – I mean, they postponed some games, but they've been able to make it up, and they haven't had a stoppage. So why would they stop now?
Oh, they should. They should keep on playing. They just keep on playing.
So let me ask this hypothetical question, and I wish this that it doesn't happen. So you're telling me go all the way to the finish line, and then when someone turns around and goes into the hospital and gets on a ventilator – because just because you don't hear it reported don't mean it's not happening. Or worst case scenario, one of those players die. I'm a leave politics alone, but Major League Baseball smells like Trump's administration from high. I'm gonna leave that alone.
Well, why are you just gonna make it about Major League Baseball? You might as well throw the NFL and college football in there too, because they're not playing in Hub City.
I agree. Throw the NFL and everybody else in there. Everybody.
I mean, we were just talking about baseball. If you like, we can lump NFL in there too. But because we've been talking about baseball, right. That's why I said that.
Well, let's do this barbershop style. Let's go ahead and go with that subject. All right, so this is why I refuse to watch college football. I refuse to watch college football. I refuse to talk about college football because of this simple point. Those doggone kids ain't getting paid. And from what I understand, even at Florida State game, Miami game, or whoever else played a game yesterday, they had fans in the stands. But the fans were social distancing. They weren't full capacity.
Right.
But that makes no sense to me. If you're going to ask the kids to take the risk, ask the same people who've been begging for doggone football to get their butt in the stands and watch it.
Great point.
Good point. You're right.
I agree.
Oh boy, great point. That's the quote
now,
of the night, right?
Will, I felt that same way because when I was in Ohio with a football game in Ohio, I was shocked. You said technically they're telling the fans you have to be X amount of points. They even had dots for you to like where you supposed to stand. And exactly what you're saying, but I said for the kids, what you're saying makes all the sense in the world, or does? That makes sense, that doesn't make sense, if that makes, you know. So you're right. You might as well go ahead and pack the stadium. Pack it.
I've been saying it's the same thing to the Southeastern Conference fans who talk about the tradition. Oh, the tradition. Got to have tradition and all this stuff. I tell you what. Have your tradition and get your ASS in the darn stands to watch those kids that's playing for free.
That's right.
Playing for free. They're not getting paid. Nothing. They're not getting paid a doggone thing. But yet, the darn pros, they're getting paid and no fans in the stands. I don't even understand. I don't understand that.
Oh, they didn't see any games today, so they have no fans on there?
Jacksonville did.
Okay. I'm like, wow.
I just don't get it. And then the other thing is the dude in the White House says, well, he wants the Big Ten to play. Listen,
right.
Tell you what, you like writing executive orders. Make an executive order to where you will relieve the Big Ten of responsibility, and any kid that gets sick from COVID, or unfortunately, God hope this doesn't happen, they pass away, you're going to make sure with that executive order their family is going to be taken care of and that kid will be taken care of. And ta-da, you got football.
Gotcha.
And all that politics and all this, they need to play football and all that stuff. Good. I tell you what, you make an executive with a federal government going to take care of those kids if they get sick and do that. And I can't understand how the heck did North Carolina play a game yesterday and they ain't got no kids on campus. They doing virtual learning.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So true. You're right. No, Will, you're correct. You're correct.
The team,
but like I said, I was there when the parents came.
Those parents in the Big Ten, you for to get your wish because the Big Ten is getting ready to cave. They're going to let those kids play football because it's so much pressure coming on. So it is what it is. But open up the stadium. Open the stadium.
They're supposed to vote.
I agree with you 100%. Open up the stadium. Let all the fans in. Let them all in. Then if you're going to do that, you might as well.
I want you to tailgate. I want you to fry a pig. I want you to eat brockwork. I want you to do all that stuff.
Right.
I don't want the kids to take the only risk. I don't want the – it's not fair that most of these campuses are not even open. And I don't know if y'all been paying attention to this, but since school has gone back in for college and universities, they've been major hotspots.
Yeah.
So for me, how the heck are they playing? How the heck are they playing football? How the world are they not getting paid?
I can say what's happened at Florida State. Florida State turned the Civic Center into a testing site. I mean,
Did y'all change your policy, Mike? Because it's volunteer. According before your school opening, I read your site, read your information on the COVID testing at Florida State University. It said volunteer test. They only had to be tested before they came to campus and volunteer thereafter.
Right.
So did they change their policy?
Well, when before they the students that stayed on campus before they moved in, they had to go get tested.
Right.
Afterwards is a different. But the people stay over at the Civic Center being tested. But I see personally, like when I'm on campus, I'm wearing my mask everywhere I go. I mean, that's yesterday at the game, walking around College Town and all. It was some people down in College Town. Now a majority of them didn't have on their masks. So that's why I wouldn't dare go down there. But it's crazy. It's just crazy. I mean, I guess, like you say, everything that happens in the world, it starts from your top. If the man at the top says it's a hoax and he don't wear a mask, so people still
think it's been proven that the man at the top downplayed it and lied, and now he's trying to make an excuse. He just didn't want to panic, so he's lying on top of lying.
Man at the top is a big liar.
Hey, that's what he does best, and they still believe everything that he says.
You know what's comedy about him, and whatever he does, because he doesn't bother me because I think all politicians lie. He's just the worst of them. That's all it is to me.
I agree.
But anyway,
that's true.
You know what's funny about him? All of this, don't wear masks, don't do this, testing, and we doing okay.
Yeah.
You know, anybody that comes into the White House got to be tested automatically before they even come around him. The people that's around him every day on his cabinet, his staffers, his aides, they got to be tested every day, even the Secret Service, every day before they get in his presence. And yet people don't either seem to believe that or they just think, okay, well, it is what it is. It is what it is. See, Donald Trump don't bother me. I've been saying this for years. He don't bother me because Donald Trump just says out front what they used to say in the back room. That's all. That's why he don't bother me.
I agree with you.
I respect all politicians to lie and tell me whatever they need to do to get elected. That includes the dude that used to be the former vice president. So he doesn't bother me.
Of course.
Because they all lie. They all lie. Donald Trump is just the worst of the worst. He just says what they used to say in back room or in churches when they used to go terrify black folk back in the 60s. He just says out front. That's the difference with him. That's all it is. So he doesn't. And I can't understand the media. This is why the media makes me laugh. It's on both sides. Because whenever this dumb dude tweets something, they jump all over the tweet. And he plays them like tunes. You know what I'm saying? Some of this stuff is just like, whatever, dude. If they didn't cover him, I bet you he'd act better.
Yes.
I agree with that.
You think so?
I agree with that. Right there, what you said. I agree,
buddy. Wow, Walter, you brought up something. You said the headline for Thursday's show wouldn't be. I want it to be the Battle of L.A. See, when you're doing this podcast thing, you know this. The twins know this. Lou know this. When you're doing that, a lot of things you do sometimes it's clickbait. Sometimes it's clickbait. So the reason why I'm out front rooting for the L.A. series because LeBron moves the needle, the Dallas Mavericks moved the needle.
Right.
And the reason why the title of this show, and it had about what happened at that kickoff, because there was 100,000 tweets about that kickoff, about what happened on Thursday night. So in this particular genre we're in podcasting and sports or whatever you do, sometimes you gotta piggyback on the headline story. That's exactly what Donald Trump does with his tweets. He's not stupid by a long shot. He plays dumb, but he's not stupid, and he knows how to manipulate the media. And when you do this, when you learn how to manipulate the audience, and I know that's a bad word to say, manipulate, but that's what it is.
It is. Right.
Then you understand the game. You know what I'm saying? You understand this podcasting game. And that's what it is. Why do you think Skip and Shannon talk about LeBron James every single day? Because they're going to get a reaction either way. And the one thing about social media and what it does, you either going to get people for you or against you. But the main thing is they click. That's the main thing. Mm-hmm. That's all that matters. So that's why they talk about LeBron James every day. Somebody say, man, why they talk about him? Because you listen. You either going to be against Skip or you're going to agree with Shannon.
Yep.
That's why they do it.
That's it. Absolutely.
It's a game. Oh, now, and speaking of Skip, I got to get you guys' opinion. I'm going to start with the twins. What do you think about what Skip said about Dak Prescott's statement about mental health?
That I don't know, because I don't know what he said. We ain't been keeping up.
He said he's basically weak for telling everybody about his mental health issue. That's what
Why
Skip
was
said.
It his business to share it in the first place?
Well, no, Dak said it. Dak put it out there. Dak put it out there and Skip commented. And Skip commented about, you know, it makes him look weak.
Oh, God.
If he admits that he has an issue, if somebody looks weak, I want to go that route? If somebody really looked weak, it would be Kanye West.
Exactly.
Good example.
That's a very good example.
Mike, what did you think?
What do you think about that?
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, finish. Go ahead. You guys finish. Go ahead, finish.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that you have to admit that there's a weakness. That makes you stronger. Kanye West don't even want to admit it. In fact, he's so far from his butt, he don't even know where he's looking. He don't know if he's looking left or right. That's all I'm going to say.
Left or right.
Mike, what do you think about Skip's comment about Dak making his statement about mental health?
Well, it's funny that you brought that up because that was the last thing that I was able to listen to before I came over here to do the podcast. And Skip Bayless' thing was that he is the head of America's team, one of the biggest, as he put it, biggest corporation in the world. And he's got to be able to lead this team. He's got to be a leader, and he thinks he's not a leader when he's showing off his weakness. But me personally, I think it takes a bigger man to let you know that he's having problems. Just in case something goes down, you can at least reach out and say, hey, can I help you? You need someone to talk to?
Right. Well,
you're pretty familiar, for the most part.
Okay?
I was gonna say you're pretty familiar with it. So, what's your thoughts?
No, I disagree with Skip all the way, man. I guess this man just showing you. I mean, and then he's bringing awareness, and I don't know if more people would be open and honest like he was. Trust me, I think that would help this world be a much better place. Put it like that, and people with mental health issues would be more forthcoming. Okay, more forthcoming for it, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so Skip definitely got it wrong, and there's no weakness at all. There is no weakness. And see, the thing is, what we don't realize, people with cancer, people with any other brain disease, see, you can actually see that. Mental health, you don't see it, so you don't understand the pain and the anguish these people are actually in. You don't, okay? So Skip was dead wrong. He was wrong. I don't know if he was just playing stupid like Donald Trump, but he was wrong. Because mental health illness, come on, it's real.
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 It is. It's not to be taken very lightly. You know, it's a very serious problem we have.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree that he's wrong. You know, I'm listening to this guy right now called Trenton Shelton, who is a former NFL player, and he was sharing on one of his videos that when he was first playing in the NFL, how he started with Indianapolis, he got cut, and then they told him to come back in 24 hours, and he's getting ready to come back and get on the plane from Dallas. They cut him again. He goes through this cycle with three teams. I think one of them is Seattle, and the other one is Washington. And so you have that. And on top of that, he also has a teammate that was on one of those teams that he was close with that commits suicide. So it really gave me an insight. It gave me an insight into the head of an athlete from a different perspective. So when Dak Prescott steps out on the state on that platform and talks about mental health, you know, that's something that as fans, we got to pay attention to. Got to pay attention to that, because it's a small door insight to a bigger problem that we all may be going through, but yet because of our image and our brand and our platform, you know, and that's the reason why I've really kind of shifted my YouTube channel to really address that myself, because I've dealt with mental health issues and burnout and discouragement, you know, and it may not be popular, but you know what? I'm gonna ride this horse all the way to the finish and see where it takes me. And it's something we got to address, especially with this whole COVID thing. But Skip, you know, he's a rare animal. You know, he's different. He's special. Yeah. So.
Right. All right, Luke.
Yeah. Well, I don't really trust anything that Skip Bayless says anyway. I mean, and mental health is, you know, something that we need to take very seriously, because, you know, it affects everybody. You know, not just you suffer, but family suffers as well. And, you know, there's been a lot going on, you know, with the athletes in the bubble. I mean, one of the NBA athletes said that he felt like he was in a dark place being in the bubble. And, you know, that can cause a lot of problems. There was another from the NBA not that long ago. I say he was dealing with Kevin Love. He was dealing with his mental health issues last year. And, you know, so this is a very serious problem we have among not just ourselves, but athletes and whoever. And, you know, it's what we call, like, I'm trying to say, a silent killer. You don't see it, but it has damaging effects if nothing can be done about it. So, I mean, a lot of people think, you're just hallucinating. You're like, no, it is a very serious problem, and you know we need to be more aware of it. As you know, as a society, this is not something that made out of somebody's imagination or a movie or whatnot. It is very serious, and needs to be taken care of before anybody else comes down with this problem.
Will, can I make one quick point?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm going to give you a name. Robin Williams.
Right there.
Oh, yeah.
Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Say no more. Robin Williams. Yeah. This guy went from, you know, Nanu Nanu to, if you've ever seen Patch Adams, which to me is a great movie, and then to see how he was really battling to the point where he succumbed to suicide. You know, in one of my recent videos that I did call Don't Give Up on Yourself, 2018, over 115 people attempted suicide. 48,000 in 2018 committed suicide. The tenth highest rate of death is suicide.
Yep.
So it's a real issue.
It's
definitely a real issue. And my thing is that whatever, man, no matter what he's doing, whether he's playing sports, working, podcasting, radio, TV, whatever the situation is, if he admits that, hey, I was going through this and I'm battling this, I think he should be applauded. It's not seen as a sign of weakness. For me,
it's a lot of courage to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, what Skip Bayless says to me is either to make you irate or agree with him. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. I understand the hustle that him, even Stephen A., I understand their hustle. I get what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Trust me. And to me, I get it. It may be morally wrong now, but what he said is morally wrong. But
yes,
he got the reaction and, you know, got people all up in arms that he wanted. You know, that's what it is. Either something they look at it as bad news, or sometimes bad news is just any news is good news, or whatever the situation is. So, but any man that speaks about mental health, yo, you'd be applauded because that is looked as straight up like, no, a man's supposed to tough it out. He's supposed to not talk about that kind of stuff.
Right.
You just tough it out.
Right.
You know.
And we know definitely in the black community. That's like,
yeah.
You ain't posted, hey, okay? You don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Stop crying.
Stop crying. Yeah. Wipe your eyes. Stop crying.
Mm-hmm. But you know what I learned from that, Zach? The same people that tell you all these things, they just as bad as you are. I remember I was going through something.
I had to learn that. I mean,
you
and
Mike know.
You know.
Yeah.
Right.
You and Mike know. I was going through something with the XO lady or whatever, and everybody told me, man, just do what the things say, you know what I'm saying? Just get over it on top of somebody else. I said, man, that junk ain't working. You know
right.
what I'm saying? That junk ain't working. So, and I found out.
Well, like when I do my
things, person was giving that advice. They were talking crazy. Go ahead.
No, you know, it's kind of just, we just discussing it, and this is the subject, right, and came up. First of all, any one of us can be affected by mental health, because, you know, whether it be the people that are born that way or chemical, you know, some people are just born with chemical imbalance and things like that, okay? And then there are situations and life issues that bring on mental issues, okay? There are different things. Like in my case, I went to Iraq, okay? I went to Iraq. People don't know what I've seen and stuff like that I've done, okay? That's an easy trigger to make me just go off. And I used to have anger issues. I had to go get help. So it can happen to any one of us. That's the thing. Any one of us.
I consider that my mental weakness, Zach. My temper. I consider that mine.
Yeah.
I used to be, well, Mike, y'all know I used to blow up quick. You look at me wrong, and I know I ain't but 140 pounds, but I'm like, well, you just gonna have to hurt me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I had to, as I got older, I realized that's not the way to handle things. You know what I'm saying? Because the person that lost out on that was me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because of my, you know, ill actions. So I had to deal with it. You know, anger wasn't the best way to solve everything, or blowing up at people, or, you know, going at somebody just because they look at you cross-eyed. You know, that's just crazy. You know,
mm-hmm.
You're like, you know what? As long as you don't put your hands on me, we good. We straight. Just stay over there in your lane, and we good to go. I'm gonna ask you guys about about tennis. I don't know if you guys watch Naomi Osaka. And the main thing about Naomi Osaka is that seven matches, and she is She is the women's champion. So I'm gonna ask the twins: is she the new face of tennis, Naomi Osaka? If you know who she is,
most definitely.
Yes.
See, it seems like she came a long way. You better believe that. She came a long way. And now that she's actually put in that work, you best believe she's the new face. She's new.
Mike?
Okay. Well, she's probably number one, and was then the young black girl that got put out kind of early this time. But those two are the new up and coming superstars in on the ladies' side of the tennis.
They gonna need them. They gonna need all both of them. You right about that?
Yeah.
Because Serena getting ready to exit.
Well, Will, I apologize. Mm-hmm. I may not answer your. I'm not answering the question. I don't know if she's the new face, but I do know I love her responses to reporters, okay? I will say that. Oh, I love the way she handled herself in interviews. Okay, when she told the reporter, they asked her, what's the message? She said, did you get the message? You know, I love her responses. I will say that. That's what I love about her. So, hey, okay, that I like.
She has a humble and she has a humbleness and an innocence about her that that didn't make that question, didn't make her response sound a smart answer, a smart A answer. You know what I'm saying? It was a smart A answer, but because she's so soft spoken, you know what I'm saying?
Correct.
It didn't come across that way. But it was definitely a smart A answer, for real, for real. All right, Walter, is Osaka the new face of women's tennis, or tennis period, not just women's tennis?
You know, I don't really follow it that much, but I guess, you know, unfortunately, Serena kind of gets this rap as of the bad girl, bad woman of tennis, and everything that you guys have kind of described about her and some of the things she said in her interviews, I can definitely see tennis starting to push behind that because they want to get something to get behind and market. Serena had her time, and it seems like the last couple of majors, she's ended up coming up short, and she allows her temper, or she allows the media to kind of put her in a situation where she doesn't always give the best response, and they flip it negatively. And I think maybe tennis is starting to see that from, and to hear everything what you're saying about this young lady, you can definitely, I believe tennis would definitely get behind that to try to say you're the new face of not just women tennis, but because really I don't really see anyone from a male perspective back in the days when you had your John McEnroe, Jimmy Connors, and, you know, you don't see that from even from the males, Andre Agassi. So, yeah, I could definitely see her being the face of tennis, male and female.
Lou?
I believe she is the new face of tennis from what I've seen so far. I mean, last year we thought it was going to be Coco Vandeweghe, but she is pretty much, you know, faded already. So if anybody's going to be the new face of tennis on the women's side, it's got to be Osaka. I mean,
hold up,
Lou. Is,
Coco Vandeweghe is only 16, so don't dismiss her yet.
I know.
Only 16.
Okay.
Her name is Coco Golf. Her name is Coco Golf.
Coco Golf. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. Coco Golf.
You know, but she was
so, she's only 16.
I understand that, but she was on this is a phenomenal start. It's just a 15 of last year, and already, but she probably just got, you know, a bit burned out. But anyway, you know, I don't think she's going to be as, you know, like Serena. But, you know, she's got to make a name for herself. And being at Serena, you know, and I think it's starting to struggle a bit. You know, they're looking for the next new phase of tennis. And I think Naomi's on her way.
Serena's struggling because Serena had a baby and Serena's in her late 30s. I mean, Serena
is
phenomenal.
She's
the greatest
old,
female.
You know.
She's on the downside.
No, she's old for women's tennis.
No.
They don't play that long, Lou. They don't play. Trust me, they do not play that long. They play about 31, 33, and then they call it quits because they want to start a family. Well, Serena bonked that mess, and she had her family and got married and then came back and still played at a high level. Serena is not just a great female athlete. Serena's probably one of the greatest athletes, period. Forget gender. And the pick up on what Walter said, a lot of Serena bashing is because of her physical stature. She's a muscular girl.
I agree.
That's a lot has to do with it. And she's a thick muscular girl at that. So, see, we know what that is in our community. We know what time that is. You know what I'm saying? We like, thick. You know, they want a broom handle with arms and legs. I'm just saying. Just putting it out there. That's just how it goes.
She doesn't fit what they picture to be, quote unquote, you know, beauty or the perfect body, but she is a thick, muscular.
And she is.
That's correct.
You know,
Coco.
Go ahead.
What you was going to say? No, go ahead.
I mean, everything what you guys are describing, what the names that come to mind, Tom Brady, Derek Jeter, you could see tennis saying, hey, look, we've had Serena now, you know, she's kind of on the decline, so they say. I could see tennis really making a run to say we're gonna put you as the marquee person,
right?
And do that. I could see that.
Earlier in this show, we talked about the fluff that the NFL is doing and some of the NBA mess and the college football and stuff like that. I'm gonna make a statement, and I want to hear what you guys gotta say. Her stance. She boycotted her semifinals match, just like the Milwaukee Bucks and the rest of the NBA did. Then they allowed her to play it. And then she had the mask with the names of the slain black people that was either killed by police officers or, in the case of Trayvon Martin, by a wannabe cop. So she's had those masks every single day. I'm going to say this. Mm-hmm. She's going to do more for the conversation than the NFL and NBA can do it. And I'm going to tell you why I say this. She's soft-spoken, she's humble, and she's a mixed-race kid. And then she's a woman. And I know that athletes like LeBron have a larger platform, they have a larger bank account, but she's going to do more for the conversation than LeBron James can, even with his millions of followers on social media, because that girl is soft-spoken and she's humble. Again, when that guy asked her that question, it was a smart aleck answer. It really was, but it didn't play that way on TV because everybody liked the comment. Everybody liked what she said. Like, what did you get out? What did you get out of it? You see what I'm saying? So when you have this, and the fact, I don't know if many people know this. You know, she went to protest when George Floyd got killed. She went to Minneapolis and protest. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have any of you heard that on the media?
No,
I mean,
we would know because we follow sports like that, but they really didn't advertise it or present it like that.
I disagree with you, Zach, because, you know, Don Lemon was making it a point to let you know when Jason Brown from the Celtics was close to us, and he was making it a point to let you know when Steven Jackson was out there. Uh-huh. So he was mm-hmm. making it a point if athletes or retired athletes, he was really, he even started calling people out.
But Walter, those guys you're talking about, they're loud.
Right,
exactly. Loud and extremely opinionated.
Exactly.
Jaylen Brown, he's loud. You know what I'm saying? And he's voiced his displeasure in the interviews. And I'm almost and it got very little play in rotation on social media, or even on cable mm-hmm. news, because God knows that's how everybody watch news nowadays. But mm-hmm. when she made that statement yesterday in that post game interview, it retweeted mm-hmm. like crazy. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She's soft spoken mm-hmm. and she's a mixed
right.
race kid. That's her advantage over a big 6'9", 250 pound imposing looking African American male or football
right.
player.
Mm-hmm.
They're physically imposing, so they're not going to listen to them. And plus, people will be like, most people say, well, they ain't got nothing to complain about because that doesn't affect them. They're not living that everyday situation. That's why
mm-hmm.
a lot of people are tuning a deaf ear to what they're saying. They're like, oh, yeah, y'all don't know nothing about that. They don't realize these people had to grow up. You know what I'm saying? They grew up in the system, or grew up in poverty or in rough neighborhoods and stuff like that. But that girl, when I saw that yesterday, I said she will do more for getting the conversation started. I'm not talking about getting no
uh-huh.
legislation or nothing like that. She
right.
will be able to get people to have a conversation
yeah.
because she's humble and she's soft-spoken. And she's a mixed-race
mm-hmm.
kid. That matters. That's the way Obama got elected, because he's a mixed-race
mm,
kid.
Good point.
If he had been
– good point.
He had been Flavor Flav blue-black or Wesley Snipes blue-black, no way in the world he'd have got elected.
Yeah, that was so
good
true.
Point.
I agree.
Good point.
Yeah. So she's gonna do a lot, and I don't want to put that out there and put it on her shoulders, but she's already taken up that call, her and her rapper
right.
boyfriend. But she's gonna do more. She will. What do I tell you? You gonna see that little girl everywhere, and she will not lose one sponsor. She won't lose one sponsor
right.
at all.
Oh no!
You know what I'm saying?
Well,
LeBron James
because of that. I agree with you. I agree.
LeBron James was scared to talk about China because he was scared to lose a sponsor. Now he's kneeling. I'm going to leave LeBron James.
Right.
Because I went out kind of hard when I saw that kneeling in the Wakanda forever. Well, where was that when they were asking you about the Chinese oppression of people over there and you get that political answer? Where was all that then? Oppression anywhere, you know what I'm saying? Or injustice anywhere.
I agree.
Everywhere.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So what was your political stance then? Oh, it's convenient now, LeBron. I get it. It's convenient now, so you can make your stance now. Okay. Man, that's cool. you know, you and Michael Jordan. And I'm going to leave Tiger Woods alone because he's not black, so I ain't got to worry about him.
Right.
You know,
that's right.
You know,
I can say he's Carblasian. He's not black.
He definitely wasn't black. He wasn't black when he was driving out. I tell you what, he know he ain't black because he was driving down the street with a high, and he was able to go home.
Right. So true.
Right.
That's not a normal black experience. I'm sorry.
Let me ask you this question. Well, I know you got 5 minutes left. Do you think Tiger kind of fits into the mold of what the way OJ was in our time?
I think he supersedes OJ.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tiger grew up in that world. See, OJ got like that, and I think all of us know somebody who's successful, not even just an athlete. You know somebody that's successful when they make it and they don't want to look back. They be like, nah, I know what that life was. I lived it. I don't, you know what I'm saying? They don't want to acknowledge it. So that's what happened to OJ. Tiger's just delusional. That's what Tiger's problem is. Tiger does not see himself as a black male because he hasn't lived a black male experience. He plays a predominantly white sport all his life, and he's been channel focused. Playing that sport to be the best he can be. He didn't even see the people staring at him and wondering what the heck this little Negro doing swinging a golf club. He didn't care because all he wanted to do was hit that little white ball. And then he went to Stanford. And then when he left Stanford, guess what they did? He signed with Nike for, what, $50 million? So he doesn't know the black experience. I don't know nothing about that at all. He's right. He's compilation or whatever he said he is. That's exactly what he is. He's not black. And he means well. I think he does anyway. I think he means well. I think Tiger is a – I think he has a good – he's a good dude. He has a good heart. He just doesn't know the black experience. His friends are white, except for Michael Jordan. And I don't know if they friends still. And Michael Jordan ain't white no more. I mean black no more. He's just as white as Tiger. Michael Jordan got dark man syndrome. He married a light-skinned girl, and then he went and married a Cuban. Maybe leave that man alone.
You're silly.
Yeah, he got something. All the women, even the women that he had affairs with, are all light skinned. Great basketball player, but I hear he's a horrible person. He's a great basketball player, but people who have met him and been around him say he has a God complex. And if you don't believe that, go watch The Last Dance again.
Right.
Anybody disagree?
Yeah, we saw a different side of it after that documentary was over.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying to keep you on time, Will. You got 2 minutes.
Now, if you're going to rebut it. Go ahead. I got 2 minutes.
No. I mean, I can't. I mean, I'm no. You know, Mike. You know, he different. That's the word. He's just different.
I saw Michael Jordan in a new light when I lived in Charlotte. Michael Jordan built a playground in one of the richest neighborhoods in Charlotte. When he was the owner, and he still is the owner, he built a playground in one of the richest areas in Charlotte. And matter of fact, even Michael Eric Dyson has called him out when he was at North Carolina. He gave no money to the African-American department at University of North Carolina, but he gave a lot of money to the school. He didn't specify.
Wow.
And Michael Eric Dyson, when he was there, he called him out. All you got to do is go read the book. Go read the book. Mm-hmm. Michael Eric Dyson talked about it. He called Michael Jordan out all the time. And you got to remember, Jesse Helms was one of the most racist dudes in the U.S. Senate from North Carolina. And his mama asked him to take a picture with the black challenger, and he wouldn't do it. Because Republicans wear sneakers, too. We're going to leave that alone. I read too much, guys. I read too much. I read a lot. I read a lot, and that's how I stay informed about a lot of stuff. I read a lot, of things. I read about our history.
Yeah.
Keep reading.
And I don't take nothing they tell me on that one-eyed monster. That's what I call a TV, a one-eyed monster. I don't take nothing they tell me on that TV, for real. I don't care if it's the news, sports debate shows, none of that stuff. I don't take none of that for real. I read for myself. I learn for myself. It's just like the Breonna Taylor situation. I believe not a doggone thing they said on that TV. Nothing. I went to the website and looked it up and saw.
Right.
Because it's a matter of public record of what a no-knock warrant is. That's the show.
Right.
Thank you guys so much.
There you
go. I thank everybody for their time. Say a prayer for somebody because prayer changes things. Hey, listen to me tomorrow. The link is in the description. Listen to me tomorrow, 7 a.m. Yeah. I'm going to get into all the games that I want to talk about, games that got my attention. So tomorrow, collapse. Going to talk about them. Going to talk about them Clippers and what Washington did today to Philadelphia. Be easy, guys. See everybody.
I will.
Everybody, listen to me.
You ain't talking about my Heat or our Heat, but I forgot. You're not really feeling
the Heat
right
losing. The Heat are losing five. The Heat are losing five. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
The Heat are losing five.
Yeah, Hudson.
All right.
I bet the difference.
Have a good one,
you better
okay.
Pay attention to the pattern, Zach, and you'll get it. Be easy.